Hello and welcome to the latest episode of this Local Government Chronicle Investment Series podcast. This episode was recorded at the LGC Investment Seminar, which was held at Carden Park, Cheshire, between the 30th and 31st of March 2023. Deputy Editor of Local Government Chronicle, Martin George, spoke to Dafydd Edwards, County Fund Director at Gwynedd Pension Fund, who received the LGC Investment Lifetime Achievement Award at the event ahead of his impending retirement. For more on the local government pension scheme, including news, features and events, go to lgcplus.com/investment.
So, hello everyone and welcome to the latest in the LGC Investment podcast series. My name's Martin George, I'm the Deputy Editor of the Local Government Chronicle, where I lead our coverage of the local government pension scheme. And I'm really delighted today to be joined by Dafydd Edwards. Dafydd is the County Fund Director for Gwynedd Pension Fund, and counting down the days to your retirement, is that fair to say?
Absolutely, thanks Martin. Yeah, it's just a few more working days left, but hopefully I'll be able to keep my hand in the LGPS in some other form soon.
I hope you do. So we're recording today at Carden Park. So this is the LGC's investment seminar for 2023. And Dafydd, I'd love to just have a sort of a chat about sort of your career, how the LGPS has changed over the years, and just have a look at some of the sort of the big issues that are sort of bubbling away and what you think might happen. I guess let's start off. Where did you start off with the LGPS?
I worked my way up the ladder in local government finance and around 20 years ago got the Chief Finance Officer job at Gwynedd Council. And at that point I inherited a pensions fund which I hadn't worked in at all. So I was very wet behind the ears at that time and I've been learning every day since really. Pensions is my favourite part of the finance job and particularly the investment side, and I'm still here in Carden Park today at this LGC seminar, still learning, and I'll learn every day.
It's one of those issues or topics where people sort of get into the community and they never seem to leave, do they? It does seem to hook people's interest somehow and really retain people.
Absolutely, yeah. And when I took flexible retirement 15 months ago, looking after the pension fund was my cherry-picked part of the job to continue in part-time. So, and really enjoyed it this last 15 months.
That's fantastic. So tell us a bit, how's the LGPS changed over the last sort of 20 years or so? From where you've sat, what have been the big sort of themes over that time?
I think the world has changed a lot, but when I started off 20 years ago, our fund had three asset managers with balanced portfolios of listed equities and bonds. And at that time, that was a sort of norm. And there were a very limited number of managers actually servicing the LGPS. Now, everything, asset allocation is so much broader with more resilience for us from that greater diversification. We've moved over that timescale into property, emerging markets, regional specialist fields, private equity we went into in 2006 and got a real hiding for about a couple of years over 2008. Yeah. Badly timed going into that, but since then it's been stellar performance from private markets, yeah. Infrastructure as well. And now that we're investing through our pool, the Wales Pension Partnership, we've got a lot more diversification. We have 12 different asset managers for global equities, 6 more for emerging markets, 4 for absolute returns, and another 5 for MAC. So we've moved from that sort of very cosy relationship with just about 3 managers to having a much more, not so much adventurous, because it does give us that resilience and safety, because if one of them doesn't perform, it doesn't have that much impact on the fund, so that hopefully we're still getting the growth, but also having a lot more safety as well.
More complexity as well, though. I mean, I know you're sort of smiling when you talk about this, but I imagine that the workload for yourself, for your team, the different things to consider, for the pension fund committee members to consider, it must be a bigger burden these days.
I think so, yes. You used to be able to leave it to the fund managers with a balanced mandate, and they did all the decisions. It's become a lot more, the asset allocations become more complex. We're helped, of course, by being in the pool, and I'm really grateful for my colleagues in the pool in the Wales Pension Partnership. We've got a great working relationship. We're moving on to more asset classes now. We're going into things like sustainable equities and private credit, which we've never been in before. So I was, you know, looking back, it's been a great journey. It's only about 8 years since pooling, but I chaired the officer group which set up the Wales pool before the government mandated that. We were volunteers rather than conscripts, and not all the funds were keen. I went along myself as I was chair of the officer group. I had to go along to a couple of authorities to meet with their pensions committee and persuade them along the way. But I think we all got on board and work really well together. And, you know, pre-COVID, geographically, having a Welsh block was very useful to work face-to-face. Mm. But since then, of course, everyone, online meetings are now the norm. And it's quite easy to have a sort of fortnightly chat with our pool colleagues on Teams. But we are building, that sort of online relationship builds on the collaborative foundations from previously established face-to-face meetings, I think. It's nice to get out now, even though we're mainly in face-to-face meetings. It's nice to meet in places like this and see our partners be able to shake hands and have a drink of the evening as well. So
it makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, going back to those sort of couple of funds who were perhaps a bit more reluctant back in the day, I mean, what were their hesitations, I guess, about pooling? And what were sort of, how did you bring them on board?
We had a real challenge because the government did have this minimum size of 25 billion in assets under management. And Wales together weren't reaching that minimum. We were about 12 at that time. I think we are about 20 by now. Right. So some were thinking, well, it would be better to jump in with one of the other pools so that they could have their more certainty that would be established. But I think we've got, once they were initially persuaded, some of those fund officers have been some of our most supportive and worked really hard for the pool and brought a lot to the table. Mm. And it was only sort of initial reluctance, and once they were on board, they've been star players, really.
Fantastic. And I guess of all the pools, I mean, there were 8 in England and Wales. Wales is probably the most geographically, or the most sense geographically. I mean, you've seen in the budget a couple of weeks ago, the government's talking about consolidating pools or fewer pools. Presumably the fact that all the Welsh funds are in a Welsh pool insulates it a bit from, you know, mergers we could be seeing happening elsewhere or sort of turbulence elsewhere?
I would hope so. I would hope we can make a special case for continuing. I'm not a supporter of merging pools, to be honest. I think the size of our pool, we've had advantages over some of the other bigger ones in terms of numbers of members. 8 seems to be a magic number for me, the 8 pools. We have 8 members in Wales.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good number to have around the table. Everyone gets a chance to have their say without it becoming too long a discussion. And we know each other a bit better because of that sort of number. We are different insofar as we have, in Wales, we have common regulators between ourselves. We're audited by the Wales Audit Office. We have the Welsh Government, who have, although the LGPS is still run by Dealer from Westminster, we're still having to dance to the Welsh Government's tune in many things. They're very ambitious with the green agenda, etc.
Yes. Yes.
And we have different regulators. We have the Wellbeing and Future Generations Act in Wales, which means we have to comply with their requirements. And we have a language commissioner for Welsh language. And our meetings, we had our Joint Governance Committee for Wales Partnership yesterday, and I was speaking in Welsh there with instantaneous translation to English. And I would think if we had a merger with some English funds, I think they may find it rather odd to have to Welsh spoken at some of the meetings.
It'll be interesting. So I can't really see, you know, if Bromley ever left London City, if considering Chelsea ever left, I can't see them moving to Wales somehow.
We've had interest from one or two funds.
Really?
And thinking about joining us, but we've felt that we are a good block of eight as we are, and politely declined offers from outside. I think some of the other funds have seen our progress and our achievements in pooling, and some of the performance that some of our sub funds have achieved, and we're looking quite enviously over the border. But I think we do work together well as eight, and I would be definitely against any further merger. I do think that I've heard William Bourne mention, you know, trying to use each other's vehicles across pools.
Yes, yes.
And that's something I'd thought of similarly. And I had a chat with Joanne Donnelly about that recently when she was presenting to our pool. And we made our feelings quite clear to her that we weren't looking to merge, but might be interested in if we could take up the opportunity to invest in some of the vehicles other pools are arranging, and vice versa.
That would be really interesting. And I guess would you then see pools specialise in particular asset classes perhaps, and competition between pools? I mean, that would be an interesting dynamic though, wouldn't it?
It would, yes. And I would hope that the guidance, the review coming up now.
Coming up forever.
Yeah, imminently, I think, is the word for the last couple of years.
In due course, yes. Yeah.
Hopefully they'll look at things with an open mind to that way of thinking rather than just look to merge.
Now, I'm a journalist, so forgive me. And you're retiring, so you can speak your mind now. Can you name those two funds that were thinking of joining or interested in joining the Welsh pool?
No, I prefer not to. To be honest,
I thought I'd get you there.
No, I'm. I'll keep that one to. It was I appreciated their interest, and you know, took it as a compliment that they approached us. But I think that should be kept for our.
We'll have a drink in the bar later, shall we?
Maybe.
Now I know another big thing that you talking before has really come onto the agenda the last few years is ESG, environmental, social, governance issues. How have you seen that change in recent years?
That's really changed. I think a decade ago, let alone 20 years ago, we were still hiding behind fiduciary duty and saying, our first responsibility is to the members of the fund to get the returns. But at least in UK and Europe, that seems to have changed a great deal. ESG factors are now considered to invest responsibly, but also to achieve returns, as environmental factors will.
Yes.
In the long term, certainly impact on those returns, and avoiding stranded assets and the like, we need to be considering those. But I think the environmental factors dominate. We, as a pension fund, Gwynedd Pension Fund, we've set a 2050 carbon target, but we're aiming for 2030 if that's possible.
That's the very leading edge of LGPS funds, isn't it?
It is. The 2050 is our official target, but we're not content to sort of just leave it at that. We're trying to map out how we can achieve a sooner and, if possible, 2030. And I mentioned earlier the Welsh Government's ambition in this regard is to try and aim for 2030. So we had to be cognizant of that. And to that end, I think many LGPS funds and organisations generally are setting targets. Well, setting targets isn't good enough. You have to be starting to move, really, and we've all been, the eight funds in Wales have been in the passive fund with a carbon-friendly fund for a couple of years now. That was set up a few years ago when some LGPS funds, including some of my friends from London, Duncan in Southwark and others, had a hand in persuading BlackRock to launch the carbon friendly fund. So that's been going a while, we're in that. So, but moving forward, we're launching a sustainable equity actively managed fund to try and be more proactive in there. And that's due to be launched over the next couple of months.
Oh, I'll look out for that.
And we're also investing in clean green energy scheme in Wales. And other projects, but it's not always easy because while there are many people who want to move ahead with the green energy agenda, there are also people who don't want these huge wind turbines and pylons in their backyard.
So, of course, yeah.
While we're keen to invest in green energy in Wales, that's not always easy. So we're having that discussion as we speak, really.
Yeah, and it's being played out across the UK, isn't it, that issue?
Absolutely.
You mentioned your ESG, that particular focus on the E, the environmental stuff. Yeah. Have you done much in the space of the governance or the social? Or do you think the LGPS as a scheme, are those two areas where more work is needed and perhaps the environment has overshadowed other important
We're very active. All the eight Welsh funds are members of LAPFF, and we've been active through that for a long time now. I know that they've identified sometimes that the E and the S and G can conflict with each other. Something like Tesla, we're very good on the E, but on the S, on the social side of things, their labour relations left something to be desired by at least. And so you do have to look at trying to have a balanced look. I think the E dominates. We're definitely on the governance side. We have, I'm trying to think now. We do monitor, we have a manager monitoring the voting and the engagement with our the assets we're invested in. And that's reported on quarterly. It's impossible to do that engagement with every stock that we're invested because it's so broad.
Yeah.
But we do actively take part as asset owners and ensure they're voted upon. We have a policy with Robeco, who's the manager managing that for us, and they report which way they voted on our behalf as a block, and that does make a difference. I think
you're seeing actual sort of changes at company board level.
If you go back 10 years, I think we were probably inactive as in the governance side, and probably didn't vote on many things, but we've become more conscientious over the years, and I think that having an engagement manager like that, it does keep us informed and make sure we're doing what we should be doing with some of these firms that we're investing in.
No, that makes complete sense. Now, I know you'll be aware, Phil Triggs from London, he writes a yearly column for us about pooling and LGPS. And one thing he highlighted recently was the idea that politics is creeping more and more into pensions committee meetings and pension committee decisions. Is that something you've sort of seen any evidence of or have any concerns about?
I haven't had evidence of that either at our own fund or at the Wales partnership meetings. I think we have managed to move forward in both our own fund committee and in the Wales partnership on a consensus basis. It's rare that we have a divided vote. All the members I worked with, while they're all politicians of different colours, they've all seemed to be in the pensions environment, put their politics to one side and considered things for the benefit of the fund and the members of the fund, etc. So, I haven't had that same experience as Phil Triggs on that. I'm really enjoyed my time on pensions to a degree because of the absence of politics. And, you know, when you go to some of the local authority meetings, the politics do come into it quite quite strongly, of course. But on pensions, no, that's and I'm glad it's been that way, and I can't see it creeping in at the moment either.
Because the thing that interests me is we're seeing increasing lobbying of pension funds by particularly divestment campaigners. You know, they highlight how much people are investing in fossil fuel stocks and so on. I mean, are you seeing increased pressure to divest? Are committee members keen to divest? Are there difficult conversations that you're having from people with different views on this? And again, fiduciary duty, you mentioned right at the start, that absolutely plays back into this discussion, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting moves in the US at the moment on this that don't seem to be matched in Europe. But we have our own, in our own county, we have our pressure group Divest Gwynedd, who are not constantly but frequently putting pressure to divest from fossil fuels. They actually invaded our front desk last Friday. They had a national day of action of some sort, and so they had a pantomime dragon and the likes. It was very friendly, but they made themselves known. And we do have letters and questions to the committee from them on a regular basis. But we try, talking about engagement with our stocks, but we try and engage with the pressure groups as well.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, always, whenever possible, if they're wanting to engage, I'll go down and have a chat with them. And I've done that of the evening, etc. And I think it is still a small number of people making that play. And we need to have a balance of whether it's the vociferous minority or the larger number who are still more concerned about returns to pay their pensions. I don't think they need to be concerned about that. We're 120% funded. And in that position, I think now the way the regulations are generally interpreted these days, we can make decisions which are more responsible investment rather than just going for the best return all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those schemes we talked about earlier, we are looking to invest locally and in more green projects. The members listen to those pressure groups but aren't entirely persuaded. The Friends of the Earth and Extinction Rebellion people are one-eyed in terms of divesting only, and I think nearly everybody I speak to within the LGPS who knows the industry see that engagement is the prime lever for us, and we need to influence through engagement. We are investing less in fossil fuels companies. We still have a few because we have some traditional passive mandates where they invest across the FT. But our investment in Shell, for instance, is now a quarter of what it was 2 years ago.
I mean, that's a big change in a short time, isn't it?
Yeah, so. That hasn't paid dividends because those energy companies have made a lot of money in that period of the time.
Indeed.
But we feel that we are investing conscientiously and responsibly, and we're making returns on other things.
I'm always fascinated by that, the view in the LGPS that your engagement really is the way to make a positive difference on climate issues. And this, the steadfast belief from campaigners that no engagement, it's greenwash, they're pulling the wool over your eyes, or it's a way for the LGPS to get big returns from still investing in these companies. There doesn't seem to be any meeting of minds on this. Is it both sides are too fixed on their views? Is that it's too simplistic a debate, and you know, campaigners find it hard to deal with nuance here? I mean, when you've talked to divestment campaigners and try to talk about engagement, have you found any meeting of minds on that issue?
No, I haven't really. And I'm not confident that they'll be persuaded to the argument of engagement. The the diverse people are quite evangelical in the way they see it as diverse only. I can see their point of view to a degree because they look at recent events with people like Shell where you know there's been a degree of greenwashing and that what they say they've been doing in terms of transition hasn't really happened. So I can see their point of view, but they put that forward as evidence of engagement working, whereas I also see evidence of engagement working in various other, well, the majority of assets where we're involved in. And we really need to engage to change the world. I'm utterly convinced of that, as most of my LGPS colleagues are, of course. I don't think we're going to persuade the diverse groups that they've set in their beliefs, and I respect that. Mm. I don't agree with it.
Okay. Now let's finally sort of step back from the day to day. I mean, you've had 2 decades in this community. Looking forwards, what do you think that the LGPS will look like in, say, 10, 20 years? I mean, do you think we'll see fewer funds, fewer pools? Will the asset class allocations be vastly different to now, or will it be very similar to what we see here in 2023?
The pace of change has been quite speedy, and it's difficult to forecast really where we might be in the future. I think we mentioned earlier that the Wales pool work very well together. And I would be very much against any forced merger of pools. I think we get a good deal from working as a pool rather than employing people other than the administration side. We have a host authority, but we use Link and Russell, and we have other sort of overlay managers in B Finance and Schroders and GCM, etc., who will do that work that would be done by pool operatives in some other pools. And I think we gain the economies of scale by buying in that, because they're doing that same work for several other private and LGPS clients. And I don't think merging as would bring any saving in terms of economies of scale from what we're doing now. And it's really giving us a great service, and we're in a good place. I wouldn't want to upset that too much. Yeah. And hopefully, as we said earlier, let's see what we can do across pools rather than trying to merge them.
Put you on the spot. Do you think LGPS in England and Wales will achieve net zero by 2050?
If the world can do it, and if countries can do it, and businesses can do it, I'm sure the LGPS can. It's difficult. There's a degree of sophistication because of the breadth of assets, but it depends on if the companies can do it, then the investors can do it as well.
How about 2030 in your own case?
Well, we've got a target for 2050 and an ambition for 2030. I don't think many are going to get anyone near by 2030, but unless we start moving now and have these projects running, and we do have a lot, as well as those investments I mentioned for the fund. I'm involved with the North Wales Economic Ambition Board, and we have some tidal energy schemes in the mix there, and hopefully that sort of stuff will come in over the next couple of years, and we'll be able to make real strides. We are actively looking for those opportunities.
Fantastic. I think that's a good place to leave it. David, it's been a pleasure. I hope this isn't your last LGC event. I hope that even though you're retiring from your current role, you'll still be in the sector, in the community for the years ahead.
I hope so. I've made such good friends in the LGPS. I'd love to continue in some role and let's see. Some irons in the fire, maybe, and we'll see where we end up.
Fantastic. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Martin.
Thanks, David, and thanks very much for listening.
Thank you for listening to this Local Government Chronicle Investment Series podcast. The next investment event is our Pension Insight Symposium, which will be held in Stratford-upon-Avon between the 13th and 14th of July, 2023. For more on the local government pension scheme, including news, features and events, go to lgcplus.com/investment.